Welcome to Scary Storytime by Spooky Boo. www.scarystorytime.com. Today is our Friday of Fright, Trilogy of Terror. I would like to introduce to you Nightmare Files. Enjoy these three terrifying stories, and be sure to hit them up on YouTube at Nightmare Files. The link is in the description below.
Nightmare Files.
I love to ride my bike along country roads. Not far from where I live is a tiny town called Three Oaks in Michigan. One Saturday, my wife was working and I had nothing to do. So I strapped my bike to my car and drove the hour to Three Oaks. I parked in a scenic downtown area and then rode out of the town and into the surrounding countryside. As I wound my way further into the remote countryside, houses and businesses and cars grew increasingly scarce. Eventually, there were only an occasional house or two every half a mile or mile, and cornfields and small woods flanking the dirt and gravel roads that I pedaled down. It's on one of those back roads that a minivan drove past me. Within moments of it passing, it turned around and pulled up alongside me. I looked over at the passenger, a woman in her mid to late 20s, was looking at me with her window down. The driver, a man of seemingly the same age, leaned over the passenger and said to me, in a slight southern drawl and with a big smile on his face, "Hey, do you know David Chris?" I thought for a brief second, but I don't know any David Chris. So I said no. The driver said, "You don't know him at all." I said that I didn't and I apologized and then pedaled on. The van sat for a moment longer and then pulled a U-turn and drove off in the direction it was originally heading. I thought nothing of the encounter. Maybe the driver was a friend of David Christ, and he thought we had met through David or something. I don't know. At the time, I didn't think I had any reason to worry. I continued on to ride my bike, turning down this road and heading north, and then turning down that road and heading east. I didn't have any agenda. I was just riding. I was just out to enjoy the summer day and meander through the relaxing countryside. Maybe 10 minutes later, and on an entirely new road and heading an entirely different direction from the one I had first met the van, I saw the van again. We were heading towards each other, and I gave a smile and nod as I passed the driver. I remember thinking it was odd. It was an odd coincidence that I should come across this van again. The driver stared as he passed and had a big smile on his face. At this point, I began wondering what they were doing. They might be lost and looking for this David Chris guy, or maybe they're just enjoying a scenic drive and thought I looked like a friend of a friend or something. I didn't know, but at this point, I was starting to think about the situation a little more critically. I continued taking a twist, a turn, and just making a weird path. Taking this road and then turning onto that, heading north, south, east, west. And then I came across the van again. Again, they're heading in my direction and I pulled alongside them. The driver rolled down his window and leaned out. He was a late 20s white man with a few inches of goatee and a baseball cap. He had a large smile plastered across his face again. I stopped my bike and I looked at him, waiting for him to say something, and he just looked at me for a good 30 seconds. Now. 30 seconds doesn't sound like a long time, but you go flag down a stranger and then just look at them for 30 seconds, and you'll realize that in that kind of situation, that 30 seconds is a lifetime. Finally, he spoke and said, "Hey, do you know David Christ?" It's the same question. This time, there was no smile on his face. He just stared at me. And I was thinking to myself, is he joking? Does he really not remember he asked me this? He asked me about 20 minutes ago. Is he just being funny? Is he high as hell? After a moment, I told him that I still don't know anyone by the name of David Chris, and I pedaled off down the road. It's at this time that I realized exactly in how remote of an area I was. I peered down a road I was on and didn't see a house on the entire length. I was flanked by a cornfield on one side and a forest on the other. I looked over my shoulder and saw a van slowly driving down the road away from me. It couldn't be a coincidence that I came across this van 3 times now, not with me taking random roads heading in different directions. It made no sense why anyone driving would take that same maze of roads. The only thing that I could think of was they were just driving around. Maybe a pleasure drive. But why would they stop me and ask the same question twice? It was quite strange. And I was beginning to become a little concerned. I decided to begin to head back toward the town center. I pedaled hard and the gravel road ahead of me continued with a bend to the right. And a dirt path which didn't really look like a road, which is to the left. As I neared the fork, who should come around the bend but that van? I gripped my pocket knife, which I always take with me on rides like this, just in case, and then I realized all they would have to do was run me down with the van and I would be in serious trouble. As the van drew closer, I was ready. I was ready to jump off and run into the cornfields. The van slowed down as it approached me and the driver rolled his window down and leaned out again. But this time I didn't stop riding. I increased my speed even though I knew I could never outrun the van if they gave a chase. I looked over my shoulder and I saw the van sitting in the middle of the road. I took the right fork and continued down the gravel road until I could no longer see the van behind the corner rows and then I stopped. My ruse worked, or perhaps the van was never after me at all, and I made it the rest of the way to the town center without seeing them again. When I got home later that day, I was still replaying the events in my head and that name David Chris kept creeping through my mind. Was he someone famous, I wondered, like a musician? Should I have known David Chris? I decided to Google the name and I tried a couple of different spellings, a few with a C and a few with a K, but the C had the most terrifying result. I got off my bike and I crept along the cornfield. Until I was at the edge and I peeked down the road that I had just been on. The van was in the distance driving away from me. I ran back to my bike and then as soon as the van was entirely out of sight, I turned around and took the left fork along the dirt path. I rode as fast as I could, knowing that if the people in the van had nefarious, things in their mind, and if they caught me on this dirt path, flanked by cornfields and far from an area that anyone would come across, that would be the time they attacked. I came across a newspaper article from Knoxville, Tennessee. The article explained how a man named David Chris had turned himself in after stabbing another man at a gas station in 2013. The article included a photo of this criminal, David Chris, and I believe it was the same man that was driving the van. I had a baseball cap and a few inches of goatee, and the man in the van was dead ringer for David Christ in the article. I did an inmate search for Knox County Prison, and there was no David Christ in the inmate population. Somehow, David Christ had gotten out of prison, or maybe he was never convicted, as I couldn't find any articles about sentencing. And less than 2 years after stabbing a guy, well, for some reason, he had made his way to Michigan. Why was he driving along these back roads? Who was the woman in the passenger seat? And why the hell did he keep asking if I knew of him? Do I know David Chris? Yes. Yes, I do now. rushing through the woods late at night, deep into the darkest corner, where the agonizing screams cannot be heard, walking into a small cabin, marveling at all the horrors within I thirst for and the sweet smell of blood that fills the air. I take the next victim. Unconscious, I tightly bind them to a low table, awaiting them to wake up once more. I clean the dry blood off my tools from a previous session. The last body had been disposed of only hours ago, yet I had not been satisfied with the pain. Agony and blood. I love those. I bend down as they start to wake. "Welcome to hell," I whisper in her ear. "Never again will you see the light of day." Small sobs echo through the room. "My sweet little pet, don't you cry." I stroke her hair softly. It ends just as quickly as it began. Walking over to the table, I chose a small dagger. The silver catches the small amount of light that I have allowed to penetrate the room. I slowly bring the dagger up to her lips, carving an outline around them. The red blood stains them like lipstick. I smile and continue to cut around her eyes as well. Her tears just cause me to smile back down at her. Her eyes close at the sight of me. "Do go yet, my dear. There is still so much fun we can have." I grab a new knife from the table and bring it to her hands, making deep cuts in her palms. Before I grab a pair of pliers and slowly begin to rip her nails off, dreadful screaming fills the air once more as blood rushes from her hands. The nails fall to the ground, but my work is not over yet. I pour a small amount of green liquid onto her hands, a type of acid. She attempts to clench her fist and dig her fingers into the table, causing more screams to fill the air, feeding my lust for blood and pain, kindling the fire of insanity that burns within my heart. I take the knife to her arms and trace along the blue veins. The girl is weakening quickly, losing much blood. "Open your eyes, sweetheart. Look into the dark soul of your tormentor." She refuses to open her eyes. "Maybe we should make the darkness permanent." Before any answer is given, I plunge the knife into her left eye. The screams are exhilarating. The fire of hatred for her burns within my heart, and I take the knife to her next eye. Smiling with pure joy, I slowly rip it out, laughing at the small girl's pain. Oh, the pain. She threatens to slip away from consciousness. "Oh, no, 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 no," I say, surprised. "No, no, my pet. You aren't allowed to sleep. It's daytime now. Look at the sun. It has risen." I smile, knowing full well she shall never see the light again. I eye the gasoline and matches sitting on the table. I pour some over her hand, and I strike a match. "Seek fire, you little filth. For it is the only way to overcome the dark." I set her hands to fire and I watch as the flames slowly eat away her skin. They travel up her arms and her neck. I watch her in agony and I relish in her screams of pain, the pain, the pain. For me, it's one of the many prey I have captured. For others, I feel a certain joy in my heart, joking that I took the life of a daughter. I took the life of a friend, a girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. Inside, I smile, and on outside, I let the darkness consume. I plunge the knife into her heart, watching as she chokes on her own blood. Another has just departed this life forever. And what a better world it will be. As soon as I eliminate the filth unworthy of life, just like she was. 60, 59, 58, 57, 56. It's pointless. Why should all these people live? These teenagers. Of course, I'm a teenager also, but I feel as though I'm much more important than them. Their lives mean nothing. All they do is have sex, do drugs, drink, and bully. Bully, bully, bully. What use are they? What use am I? It's time for someone to do something about these awful people. To get rid of them. There are others like me, but they don't say anything. Others who think they should die. They are nothing. They should all burn in hell for the sins that they have done. If we come together, we can get rid of the world of all of these people. Everyone will see what good we've done. They'll thank us. We'll be remembered. 40, 39, 38, 37, 36. It's so exciting, I swear, it's so exciting. Here we all are in the gym together. And once again, our school team is losing. 8-0. All they do is dribble and shoot. Dribble, shoot, dribble, shoot, 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 dribble, shoot, shoot. It's so fucking pointless. What good would that do in this world? The cheerleaders aren't very happy. I'm not. Everyone here in the stands are happy. I'm not. The teachers, the parents, the siblings, the friends, the families here tonight, and of course, I'm not. It's just a normal night to them. Here to cheer on their team. Whatever. It'll all be over soon. 20, 19, 18, 17, 16. It's my turn to stand up for this world. We're no good. None of us are. Inherently evil. Even the brightest angel fell down to hell. And he became the devil. As well, I don't know. Maybe we all are the devil and we don't know it. I can't stop myself from giggling. This is just so perfect. This is the day things will change. The day everyone will look back upon and dare not to commit evil. My palms are shaking. My teeth show as wide grin spreads across my face. I can't contain myself. I swear I can't. This is, oh my goodness. My eyes are widening. Oh my goodness. From anticipation. Isn't it wonderful? Tonight is the night this school is cleaned of all its sin. 10, 9, 8. I get up from the stands and walk down the middle of the court, faces staring as I make my way down. The game comes to a halt as they all yell at me to move aside. I'm like, oh shit, maybe you shouldn't yell. 7, 6, 5. I lift my arms and lean my head back in satisfaction. I smile as I gaze up at the ceiling. I hear panic as the bomb on my chest is revealed, and I giggle as I take it all in. 4. This is it. It's finally time. 3. The screams make my heart pound with joy. Oh, the joy, the joy, the joy, 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 joy. 2. I'll see you all in hell. I yell as the bomb gets to the last number. 1.